Amen. My chains fell off. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Our chains fell off. We're not bound by sin anymore. Luke chapter number 4. I hope you found your place. And if you're physically able, if you'll stand with me. And we're going to read 3 verses this morning. Luke chapter number 4. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and also to toddler church this morning. And we'll begin in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 14. We know the first part of Luke 4 is the temptation of Christ. The devil comes and he tempts. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ uses truth and Scripture. And then in verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." And I want you to notice verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." And I want us to fix our attention upon that little phrase in the middle of verse 16, "as his custom was." And that's the title of our message this morning, and that is what we're going to fix our attention on this morning, is that thought of the word custom. As his custom was. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back, and you can follow along this morning, but that's going to be our subject matter this morning. That's our title, "As His Custom Was." God, we ask that You'd help today. Father, we sure do need You. Father, I pray that You'd help every single one of us to be yielded to Your sweet Holy Spirit, to be able to preach, to be able to hear, to be able to get exactly what You need or we need this morning and what You have for us. Father, I pray that if there would be needs this morning, and Father, no doubt with this many folks, there are needs, whether it be emotional, spiritual, financial. Father, there are going to be needs this morning, and I pray that Your Word, we know that it will, but I pray that we would allow Your Word to meet every need that we have today. Father, I pray that You'd teach us in a special way. Lord, I do pray if there would be one or maybe even a few this morning that are here without Christ, they've never had their sins washed beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that today would be their spiritual birthday. Father, teach us and help us. Be with those that are away from us today. Some are sick. Some may be traveling today. No matter the case, Father, I pray that You'd help them, watch over them, be with them in a special way as only You can. We ask Your help for our children next door. We pray that the Word of God would be put in their heart one more time today. And Father, if there would be salvation needs present or revival needs present, Father, I pray that You'd meet those needs even in the hearts of our children today. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. Lord, teach us, teach us, teach us. Help us, change us, convict us if that would be necessary. Encourage our hearts, do the work that only You can do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. The word custom means simply a traditional and widely accepted way of behaving or doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. Now, the Scriptures are very clear that we should not make doctrines from man's customs or traditions. However, the customs of the Lord Jesus Christ ought definitely to be followed. And I submit to us this morning that though our customs and habits of life, and that may be the word that we would think of often would be the word habit, but our customs and habits of life reveal much about who we are as individuals, and especially as Christians. Think about it. Take a trip with me this morning. Just think, just this week, maybe beginning last Monday and up through last night, think about this week and think about the different habits and customs that you engaged yourself in even this week. Think about the habits and customs that we engage ourselves on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis. Most every single one of you have a set routine in the morning. Maybe similar, maybe different. You get up in the morning, maybe some of you, your first thing that you do is get a cup of coffee. God help you. You get a cup of nasty coffee. Nasty coffee. I tell my wife all the time, my wife loves coffee. And I tell her, well, as soon as I grow up, I'll start drinking coffee. One of the evangelists said that this week. But that's what I tell her all the time. Whenever I grow up and I haven't grown up yet, I'll start to drink coffee. I don't like coffee. I like the smell of it. I love to smell it. but I've never acquired the taste for coffee. But many of you, how many of you, that's the first thing you do in the morning? That's many of you this morning. The first thing you do is get a cup of coffee. Some of you, the first thing you do, you head into the bathroom, you get a shower, you brush your teeth, you head in the kitchen, you get breakfast. Some of you may eat the same breakfast every morning. Anybody eat the same thing every single morning? Every single morning, you eat the very same thing. I don't eat the exact same thing every morning, but many mornings I eat the same thing. It's two fried eggs, runny, with a half of a muffin. That's what I have almost every morning, without fail. That's a habit. That's a custom. We eat almost the same thing every morning. And then, hey, then you start your day. You leave the house, you head to work. Or whatever you do during your day, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and the things that you do during the day. And we do almost, you take the same route to work almost every day. You come home the same way every day. You get home in the evening. It's almost the same routine. Maybe on Monday I get home, I cut the grass every Monday or maybe every Thursday or every Friday or whatever the case. And then you have supper and then whatever you do in the evening, we have customs. We do that on a yearly basis. We do that as a church. We have a missions conference the first week in March almost every year. We have revival services. We have Heritage and Hero service in the month of September almost every year. We didn't have it last year, but almost every year. We have praise services. We have cantatas. We have different things in our services every year. You observe birthdays. We observe holidays. Those are customs. Every month we pay bills. Every year we take vacations, we celebrate birthdays, we observe holidays. And no matter the custom, no matter the routine, no matter the manner or fashion of, by, or in which we fill our days, months, and years, customs are a huge part of our lives. And by the way, let me say that's not a bad thing. We've got folks today, and we've got churches today, and we've got pastors today that want to throw away customs that are found, that are grounded in the Word of God. They want to throw away customs. They want to throw away routines and manners and habits. Look, that's not a bad thing, but they could be a bad thing. And that's what we're going to speak to this morning. Look, every single one of us fill our days, our weeks, our months, and our years with habits, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. And this morning, this is simply what all I'd like to do this morning. Is to show us three traits which our customs reveal about our character as individuals and especially as Christians. And let's look at number one this morning. Again, if you have a bulletin, you have the outline there on the back. But the first thing I want us to see this morning is that our customs reveal the details of our devotion. Our customs reveal the details of our devotion. In verse number 16... the word custom used for the Lord Jesus Christ reveals what He was devoted to. And by the way, we could look in Acts chapter number 17. By the way, we will toward the end of the service. We'll see in Acts chapter number 17, the Apostle Paul. It speaks about his custom was to go into the synagogue and to preach. The Bible speaks of the word want, W-O-N-T. It speaks about how Christ and other disciples, they were want, almost the same word. It was their habit to do certain things. It was the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the garden and to pray. That was His habit. And so number one this morning, our customs reveal the details. And by the way, again, when I say customs, I'm just talking about habits. I'm talking about routines. I'm talking about manners. Things we do on a daily basis, a weekly basis, monthly, yearly, they reveal the details of our devotion. Here's what they reveal. They reveal the people, the places, and the things that we are devoted to. The people, the places, and the things that we are devoted to. What was Jesus Christ devoted to? It shows us several things right here in the passage. But the first thing I want us to see is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He was first and foremost devoted to the Father. We'll see that in just a moment. But because of that, because He was devoted to the will of the Father, He was devoted in this passage and in the New Testament and in all of Scripture, He was devoted to souls. That's what He was devoted to. Would you look at verse number 17? In verse 16, it says that as his custom was, what was his custom? What was his habit? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. By the way, can I say this morning right from the get-go? It is a good custom. It is a good habit to get into. Parents, individuals, teenagers, young people. It is a good habit. It is a good custom to go to the house of God on Sunday. That's a good... Now, people say, well, it ought not be a habit. It ought not be a custom. I get it. We can get in a rut and we can get in a routine and it can become rote to us to where it doesn't mean anything to us. But that's where we have to not allow it to become that. But it is a good habit to get into to be in the house of God on Sunday. Our children ought not get into the routine of asking us on Saturday night, are we going to church tomorrow? If they do, then that means we haven't set our custom. We haven't set our habit about being in the house of God on Sunday morning. Look, it was Christ's custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I understand our Sabbath is different, or their Sabbath was different than our Lord's day. I get that. We don't observe the Sabbath the way they do. But it was the same idea. They went to worship. They went to the Sabbath. They went to the synagogue. They went on the Sabbath to worship. Our rest day is Sunday. Our worship day is Sunday because Christ rose again on Sunday. That first Sunday morning, that's why we come on Sunday. But it reveals the details of our devotion. First of all, the Lord, speaking about the details, He was devoted to souls. Look at verse number 17. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Boy, just a great testimony here of the inspiration of God's Word. Verse number 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Because look, I am the one that has come to do all of that. I am the one that has come to preach the gospel to the poor. I am the one that's come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's me. This is fulfilled today in me. And all, verse 22 says, bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words. And our Savior was gracious. I'll be honest, I'm not always gracious with my words, but He was. And the Bible says they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? The Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, was devoted to souls. He was devoted to the brokenhearted, to the blind, to the bruised, and to the bound. He was devoted, very simply, to those who were hurting. Our customs reveal the details of our devotion. What else was He devoted to? Not only was Christ devoted to souls, but secondly, He was devoted to submission. Would you take your Bibles and go to chapter number 22 of the book of Luke? Luke chapter number 22. Not only was He devoted to souls, we're talking about the details of His devotion, the specifics of His devotion. He was devoted to souls, but He was also devoted to submission. And we mentioned this just a moment ago. Luke chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 39. The Bible says, and He came out and went as He was wont. That word wont there, W-O-N-T, is the same idea as customs and habits. It's something He did all the time. As He was wont to do. People knew that's what He did. As He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, and notice verse 42, this is what I want us to notice, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. He was devoted to submission. Now again, some people take this passage and use it to say that Christ was scared to go to the cross. That's not the case at all. That's why He came. He came to go to the cross. And by the way, when He came, He set His face as a flint to go to the very cross of Calvary. It wasn't that He was afraid. Here's what He's getting ready to take. He's getting ready to take the cup of the wrath of Almighty God on His body. He's getting ready to take the sin of all of mankind on His body. This is a perfect man. No sin ever. By the way, that's why He is worthy to be able to save us from our sins. It's His perfect blood. My blood is not perfect. That's why it can't save anybody. His blood was perfect. He was pure. He was sinless. And that's why He's worthy to die for us. That's why He's worthy to be trusted. And the Bible says here, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was devoted to submission. Let me ask us this morning, is that our heart's cry? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. The Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 3 speaks of the Laodicean age. It speaks of the Laodicean church. By the way, an actual church that a letter was written to, but also a representation, I believe personally, of the church age in which we're living in. And the word Laodicea means the rights of the people. Is that not the day we live in? Where everybody has to have their rights? The rights of the people. Well, this is my right and this is my... And I'm not talking about rights as an American. That's not even what I'm talking about this morning. But everybody has to have rights. Well, it's my right to be able to do this no matter what the Bible says. It's my right to be able to engage myself in this activity or that activity. No matter what the Bible says, the rights of the people. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the preeminent one, what did He do? He submitted Himself to the Father. He was devoted to submission. Why do we do what we do as Christians? It's not in order to gain anything with God. It's because of what He's already done for us. Why should I submit myself under the mighty hand of God? Because of what He's done for me. By the way, and what He's still doing for me right now, and what He's going to do for me in the future. We saw that in our Sunday school this morning. Look, at the cross of Calvary, He did something for me. He provided salvation. After I got saved, He's still doing something for me. He's ever sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on my behalf. And by the way, not only that, He's given me the abundant Christian life. And there's coming a day in the future when He's going to come back. And what's He going to do then? He's going to give me a glorified body. That's what He does for us. And the Bible says that Christ, not only was He devoted to souls, but He was devoted to souls because He was devoted to submission to the Father. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. He came because He was devoted to souls. He came because He was devoted to submission. Please, oh please, here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to be honest about our customs this morning and our habits. What do our habits reveal about our devotion? And I'm not even talking about devotion. I am talking about devotion to God. But what do our habits and customs reveal about who we are really devoted to? Are we really devoted to God? I believe this body is, but I don't live with you every day. What do your customs reveal? Listen, if my custom on Saturday night is to be out late on Saturday night clubbing and not coming in until 12, 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not devoted to God. Because Saturday night's when I get prepared to go worship on Sunday. By the way, not just Saturday night, I prepare all week to do that. We ought to prepare from Monday morning to Saturday night to come and worship on Sunday. Don't misunderstand me, okay? But if my habit and my custom is, hey, Saturday's my day off, Saturday's when I kick up my heels, Saturday night's when I go out and I go clubbing and I go to the bar, and what, it doesn't matter what time I come in, I'm going to make sure I get up and I'll be at church at 11 o'clock. Hey, listen, if that's my habit, I'm not devoted to God. Because my devotion says Saturday night I'm getting in bed early because I'm going to be awake and ready to hear from God's Word on Sunday morning. Saturday night, I'm getting my clothes ready. I'm getting my stuff ironed. I'm getting ready for Sunday morning. I'm going to bed at a decent time so I can get up on Sunday morning and be ready. And that's a custom and a habit we ought to put in place. That's a custom and a habit that we ought to be help others and influence others with. Because let me submit something to us this morning. As American Christians, we have engaged ourselves in customs and habits that have taken us far away from God. Far away from God. Number one this morning, our customs reveal the details of our devotion. He was devoted to souls. He was devoted to submission. Philippians chapter number 2. You don't have to turn there. You can if you'd like. Many of you can probably quote the passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He was devoted to submission. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? It's the mind of humility. Who, speaking of Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Remember that one too. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was devoted to submission. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Are we devoted to submission this morning? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let me ask this. Are we devoted to submission when it comes to every area of the Word of God? There might be some that would say, Pastor, I don't drink. I don't fornicate. I'm not involved in those sins. But dear friend, those aren't the only sins mentioned in the Word. What do our customs and our habits reveal about us? Because they do reveal. By the way, whether anybody else knows your customs or habits, you know them. And God knows them. And you know intimately what they reveal about you. Okay, do my customs reveal that I am devoted to God? That I am devoted to His Word? Or do my customs reveal that I am devoted to this world? And to the customs and habits of this world? Our customs reveal the details of our devotion. He was devoted to souls. He was devoted to submission. Thirdly, he was devoted to service. We saw that here in Philippians chapter 2. And took upon him, verse 7 says, the form of a servant. Look back, if you would, in Luke chapter number 4, where we began. Luke chapter number 4. The Lord Jesus Christ was devoted to service. And by the way, as we've already said, he was so because he was first and foremost devoted to fulfill the will of the Father. You're turning back to Luke 4. Listen to what John chapter 5 verse 30 says. John chapter 5 and verse number 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He was always committed and devoted to the will of the Father. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 31, the Bible says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. By the way, that's all he needs to do. Just speak. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke creation into existence. And listen, if you have an issue this morning and you have a need this morning, you know, we try to manipulate so much, don't we? Lord, and we try to work things out. Lord, I have this need and maybe I can do this and work it out. And you know what all has to be done? Is for God to just speak. And for us to pray and trust and have faith. And all God has to do is just speak. Dr. Bill, Friday night, was speaking from Exodus 3 about the call of God on Moses. And he talked about the midwives that Pharaoh told them to kill, the little Hebrew boys, and they wouldn't do it. They trusted God. And because they trusted God, the Bible says He made them houses. Brother Alton said, he said, you know, I don't know how He did it. I don't know exactly everything that means. He said, but you know, He said, God has power. All He has to do is just speak. There's a 3-bedroom, 2-chariot, a garage right there. He said, that's all He has to do is speak. But isn't that true? Amen. Right? Hey, right there, a little neighborhood, as He said. A little house. He made them houses. What does that mean? I don't know everything that means, but I do know all He has to do is speak. That's His power. And they were all amazed, the Bible says. Verse 37, and the fame of Him went out into every place of the country round about. And He arose of the synagogue, out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought Him for her. And He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. This passage, what is he doing? He's ministering. He's serving hurting people. You know what He was devoted to? Service. Ministering. You say, Pastor, I can't heal anybody the way He does. I get that, but we can serve. And we can minister to hurting hearts. And here's the thing. Our customs reveal if we are all wrapped up in ourselves or if we're wrapped up in others. This morning, our customs reveal the details of our devotion. Hey, let me give you a quote, and this is in the bulletin this morning. This was one of the quotes from Brother McConnell this week. And when he said it, I was like, man, that goes right with our message this week. He says, what holds your attention will draw your affections and will change you for the good or the bad. Think about that for a moment. What holds your attention, that's our customs. That's our habits. Hey, teenager this morning, what holds your attention? Is it God's Word? Or is it the Xbox? What holds your attention this morning? What holds our attention? Hey, adult, what holds your attention? Is it God's Word? Is it the things of God? Or is it a hobby? What holds your attention? What holds our attention draws our affections out. And it'll change us for the good or the bad. It can be someone who's serving God with all their heart, and then here comes something that draws their attention away from God. And it begins to hold their attention. It begins to draw out their affections. They begin to give their affections to that. And it changes them. By the way, that can be, we can make that admonition to the good side too. Somebody who's been given to the world, been given to the flesh and to the devil, and here comes maybe they get saved, or maybe they're already saved, and maybe they start to come back to the Lord, and boy, it's the Word of God that begins to hold their attention. It's the preaching of the Word. It's a man or woman who comes alongside it and helps a little bit and encourages a little bit, and that begins to hold their attention, and it draws out their affection, and it changes them for the glory of God. Our customs reveal the details of our devotion. Let me give you number 2 quickly. Our customs reveal the identity of our influence. It reveals the details of our devotion. But number 2, it reveals the identity of our influence. Very simple this morning. How are you influencing others? How do your customs and habits influence those that are closest to you? Mom and Dad? How do your customs and your habits influence your children? Let me give you 3 this morning real quickly. Our influence is either ephemeral or eternal. I like to give you a word of the day. The word of the day today is ephemeral. What does ephemeral mean? Temporary. It means short-lived. Earthly. Is your influence, is my influence, ephemeral, short-lived, temporary, earthly, or is it eternal? My customs reveal the identity of my influence. My customs reveal how I am influencing my children. Because in many cases, my children are going to follow and do many of the same things that I do. Whether good or bad. They're going to do... My daughter drinks coffee because my wife drinks coffee. You can tell who has more influence on her. Our children do... We mentioned this recently. Our children many times like certain vehicles because that's what we like. It was funny. We went to pick up Kaysen and Chloe Monday. Went to pick them up because they were on the way, and so they wouldn't have to come here. We stopped and picked them up. And Adam was pulling the trailer, and so he backed the trailer up, and Kaysen came out, and boy, he was ready to go. And Adam and Terry Lynn said something. I don't remember what she said, but Adam said, yeah, he's ready to go because he wants to ride in a real truck today. He's driving a Ford, and his daddy is a GMC or Chevrolet. GMC. And Adam said, yeah, he wants to ride in a real truck for once. You know, aren't we like that? Don't we kind of go toward what our parents do? Well, you like that? I mentioned that recently. I like Massey Ferguson tractors because that's what my daddy liked. That's all he ever bought. That's all we ever used on the farm was Massey Ferguson tractors. And not because I know a lot about them, not because I know that they're better than a John Deere or better than any other type of tractor. That's just what he bought. And I heard him talking about Massey Ferguson's all the time. And I'll be honest, I did hear him denigrating John Deere quite a bit. So maybe that wasn't totally true about that. But that's why I like them. Not that I have any, but if I could get any, that's what I'd get. Influence. Our customs reveal the identity of our influence. It reveals how we are influencing others. And as I mentioned earlier, if as a parent on Sunday night, or maybe even on Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday night, or maybe on Sunday morning, and the kids come and say, hey, we're going to church today. And I say, nah, I don't feel like it today. I think I'm going to sleep. There's a ball game on today, this afternoon, and it starts about right the time church gets out. I don't want to miss any of it. I am identifying right there what kind of influence I'm having on them. Identity. Okay, it's the same with money. It's the same with what we do with money, our habits with money. It's the same with our habits of church attendance. It's the same with our habits of reading our Bible. It's the same with our habits of having family devotion. And I'll be the first one to be transparent. I'm not always perfect on that. Man, life gets busy. And what many times is the first thing to go in our families? Our devotion time, our family devotion. Man, it's bedtime. Let's just go to bed. No. Let's take 15 minutes and have some of the Word together as a family. You may have had it individually that day, but as a family. And look, I am identifying by my customs, by my habits, the influence that I'm having on my family. By the way, the influence I'm having on my church family, the influence I'm having on my coworkers, the influence that I'm having on other extended family. Our customs reveal the identity of our influence. So, again, what are you devoted to? Because what I'm devoted to is going to be how I influence others. To the good or the bad. It goes both ways. It's not just bad. Look, if I'm here and I'm given an influence of, hey, Saturday night we're getting ready for Sunday. Sunday we're here, no questions, unless somebody's on their deathbed. We're here. Now, if you're sick, stay at home, please. We had a little girl ride the van a couple Wednesday nights ago, and she got on, and her voice was almost gone, and she was sniffling. I said, baby, are you sick? Not now. I said, when was the last time you had a fever? Monday. Did you run a fever yesterday? Which was Tuesday. Just a little one. I said, baby, you need to stay home. Hey, look, if you're sick, stay home. If you're running a fever, stay home. Okay, we don't want what you have when it comes to sickness. But we make such flimsy excuses about why to stay home. And by the way, somebody, a family of 10, one person has fever and all 10 have to stay home. God help us. It takes all 10 of you to take care of one person. Hey, my baby's got a fever today, but man, all 10 of us have to stay home to take care of her. Man, I'd like to get that kind of care. My wife said, you're the pastor. You better get up and go. Go! Get up! And all 10 say, look, our customs reveal the details of our devotion, and in light of that, it reveals the identity of our influence. It's either ephemeral or eternal. Secondly, our influence is either toward the world or toward the Word. It's either ephemeral, short-lived, temporary, or it's eternal. Listen, I'm thankful. The boys did a great job this week in football, but you know what? That's not eternal. The decisions that were made this week, spiritually, those are eternal. Now, that's a good time, and nothing wrong with that. That was fun, and that was a good time. But there were many people out on that football field that lost their testimony over a silly football game. Over a silly football game. That has no eternal value whatsoever. That's what I told our boy. When they lost in the championship game. I told them, I said, listen, I'm thankful for how well you played. They only lost by one point. I said, I'm thankful for how well you played. You played hard. You did everything that Jeffrey and Mr. Steve and Mr. Adam asked of you. You played hard, but here's what I'm thankful for. You didn't lose your testimony today. And there were other men. There were other men. Hey, we expect teenagers to make bad decisions. But there are a bunch of men out on that field that day that lost their testimony. I'm more interested in our young people keeping their testimony than winning a football game. Ephemeral versus eternal, the worldly versus the Word. And then thirdly, our influence is either Spirit-filled or self-filled. It's either Spirit-filled or self-filled. It's either ephemeral, short-lived, temporary, or it's eternal. It is either toward the world or the Word. It's either Spirit-filled or self-filled. And I was thinking last night, I was trying to think of some examples in the Word of God, and my mind just automatically went back to the kings of Israel. And the kings of Israel show us their customs and their habits reveal the identity of the influence that they had on their nation. Think with me. King David. Did he influence them for good or bad? Mostly good. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But mostly good. He was a man after what? God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. How did he influence? To the good. What about King Saul? We could say both. But he was a man that went from humility to heartache. And at the end of his life, he influenced toward the bad. What about King Jeroboam? Who was King Jeroboam? What did he do? He made Israel to do what? To sin. We talked about that extensively in our study of the kings of Israel. He was the one that made Israel to sin. What about King Ahab? What about King Ahab? What does the Bible say about him? He did evil above all that were before him. What about King Asa? King Asa, the Bible says that he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 14:4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord. King Manasseh, the Bible says, worse than the heathen. Worse than the heathen. But here's the wonderful thing, God still had mercy on him. Woo! God still had mercy on him. And the Bible says he was worse than the heathen. What about King Josiah? The Bible says about King Josiah, he was good. And the Bible says he sought the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and might. Bunch of different kings, and they all influenced their kingdom differently. Because of who they were devoted to. Because of their customs, because of their habits, they led and influenced their people in a certain direction. Number one this morning, our customs reveal the details of our devotion. Who are you devoted to this morning? What are you devoted to this morning? And here's the truth. The only thing that's going to matter is our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, what about my job? You ought to be devoted to your job. You ought to do your best. You ought not waste money for your boss. You ought to do your absolute best. But what does the Bible say even about that? It says that when we are working for someone else, we're doing it to the Lord. As if we are servants to the Lord. Yes, we're servants to that boss. Yes, we're an employee of that employer. But even in that, even in our outside work and our secular work, if that would be what we would call it, even in that, we're doing it as if we are doing it to God. Who are we devoted to? Because here's the truth. If I'm devoted to self, I won't do a good job at work. But if I'm Spirit-filled, and if I'm devoted to God, and if my influence is going to be eternal, I'll do a good job at work. Because I want to have a good testimony. I want others to see my God. Number one, our customs reveal the details of our devotion. They reveal the identity of our influence. And then thirdly, Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 17? Thirdly, our customs reveal the future of our faith. They reveal the future of our faith. The faith, two things here, the faith of our followers and the faith of our families. And I'm going to give you two examples and we'll be done this morning. Really three. I'm going to give you the example of Christ and His devotion and how that influenced His disciples and the future of their faith. And then I'm going to show you two other examples as we look at the faith of our families. Our customs reveal the future of our faith. Here's what I mean simply by that, and I think you know what I mean. But right now, Mom and Dad, the way you're living, your customs, your habits, right now is revealing what's going to be the future of your kids' faith. Now, I'm not talking about their salvation. I'm talking about how they're going to live for Christ in the future. Are they going to trust God in the future? Are they, when we're dead and gone, are they going to be the ones that rise up in this church and are still serving God 50 years down the road? If the Lord's not hasn't come back by then, 100 years down the road, are your grandkids, because of the influence that you had and your devotion to Christ, they're still going to be serving God in this place? It's still going to be an independent Baptist church? We're still going to be preaching from the Bible? We're still going to be preaching salvation by grace through faith and nothing else? Or is it going to be some contemporary hipster joint? And that's up to us. It's up to us who we're devoted to and how we are influencing. Look at Acts chapter number 17. Our customs reveal the future of our faith. And I want to show you the future of the faith that Jesus Christ perpetuated. His customs and His habits. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as..." Now, notice this, and this isn't the message about Paul, but look what it says. "As his manner was..." That's what we're talking about this morning. That was his custom. That was his habit. "As his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." That means a whole lot. "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." In verse 6, I'm going to show you the faith of those who followed Jesus Christ. "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" You know what the faith of the disciples was because of the influence of Jesus Christ? And you say, "Well, Pastor, when He went to the cross, they all fled." Absolutely. And aren't you thankful that God always gives us second chances? Man, they fled, didn't they? All of them fled. Judas betrayed Him. Peter denied Him thrice. They all fled. Hey, but when they saw Him, and they saw Him risen from the dead, the Bible said, "These are they which turn the world upside down." Listen, moms and dads this morning, you know what we need? We need moms and dads, and I'm including myself this morning. That's me. We need moms and dads who will be devoted to God Almighty, who will influence their children for the eternal, toward the Word, and toward being Spirit-filled. We will influence our children so that they can turn their world upside down. The faith of our followers, our influence, our devotion has everything to do with what people behind us are going to do. Again, I understand, look, they make their own decisions. My three kids are going to make their own decisions one day. I get that. But I tell you what, I'm going to go down swinging as hard as I can for them to do that which is right. I'm going to go down trying to influence as best I can. I'm going to go down as trying to be as devoted as I possibly can to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His work and to His ministry and to that which is eternal. And I'm going to go down swinging for them to do that which is right one day. And you ought to be doing the same thing. And listen, when you're hopping around one Sunday here and one Sunday not and two Sundays not, and your kids are hopping with you, you're not influencing them to turn the world upside down. And listen, when I'm not doing what I ought to do in my home, and I'm not having my devotions with my kids like I ought to, and when I'm not praying with my kids like I ought to, and when I'm not praying with my wife like I ought to, I'm not influencing them to turn the world upside down. And we need to. We know that, don't we? In the day in which we live. And it's not just our day, it's every generation. We need people, we need a generation who's going to turn the world upside down. Our customs reveal the future of our faith. And your customs right now are revealing the future of the faith of your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your fellow church members that you have influence over. It's revealing that future. The faith of our fathers in this second. Would you go back to 1 Samuel real quickly? Real quick, and we'll be done this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Not only the faith of our families, or excuse me, followers, but the faith of our families. 1 Samuel 1, let me read verse 3. And this man, speaking of Hannah's husband, Elkanah, however you pronounce his name. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. What does the Bible say he did yearly? He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went to worship with his family. Look at verse number 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not. That's not the point. The point is, as he did so year by year. Look at verse number 10. 1 Samuel verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. What did Hannah do? She poured her heart out to God. Look at verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. That was a custom. That was a habit that he made with his family. Now, we don't have time to read all of it this morning, but let me ask you, between Elkanah and Hannah's son Samuel, and between Eli's sons, who turned out best? Samuel! The Bible says, look in chapter number 2, if you would. Chapter number 2, and drop down to verse 12. The Bible says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom was, that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came, and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Look, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in Leviticus chapter number 7, verse 34, the Bible says that they were only to have the wave breast and the heave shoulder. That's what the priests were supposed to take for their portion to be able to eat. That's not what they were doing. They were taking as much as they could get. They were taking the fat. By the way, I believe personally that's why Eli was so fat. Bible said he was heavy. Bible said he fell back on the chair because he was so heavy and broke his neck. I believe that because what they were doing against God Almighty. And you know what his influence was doing to his sons? It was affecting the future of their faith. And they ended up being sons of Belial. And that all simply means were the Bible says that they didn't know the Lord. They were the sons of the devil. And they were doing everything that priests weren't supposed to do. They were lying at the gates of the temple with women. They were wicked boys. Look at chapter number 3. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore? He's speaking to Eli right here. He's not speaking to Hophni and Phinehas. He says, Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. He said, Eli, you're honoring your children above me. You're letting your children get away with things that they ought not get away with. By the way, he says later that Eli restrained them not. He never restrained them. He said, Eli, you're letting them get away with things that they ought not get away with. And because of that, the people despise to even give the offering now. That's not the way the people ought to be. You ought to be leading them to love to come to worship. You ought to be leading them to love to give the offering to God. They don't even like that anymore because of what your sons are doing. I submit to us this morning that our customs, right at this very moment, reveal the future of our faith. And can we, as an illustration, as we're closing this morning, can we not look at our nation and see the customs of 20th century and 21st century American Christians? Do we not see the future of their faith right now? Their faith is minimal. Their faith is superficial. Well, I may believe in God and I may not. I just read this morning that in the, the ECLA, which stands for, it's the Lutheran Church. ECLA is the name, but I can't remember what each letter stands for, but it's the Lutheran Church. They just ordained their first transgender pastor. That's the future of our faith because of what was done decades ago. Because we stopped seeing how important the house of God was, and even more than that, we stopped seeing how important the Word of God was. Well, this part of the Word, I don't know if that's really true, and we started questioning the Word, and now we're to the point, hey, if you're transgender, that's okay. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. Are you kidding me? Yes, it does. Says much about it. And so now we have our first ordained transgender pastor in this church. And I don't know if it's a lady or a man. I didn't even catch that in the article. But whoever it is, they don't use he, she. They use they and them. And that person's going to get up and say, Thus saith the Lord. All I'm saying is this. That is the result of decades of bad customs and habits, where people have questioned the Word of God and said, you know what? Church attendance, take it or leave it. Reading the Word of God, take it or leave it. And now their kids don't believe anything. And now their kids, and by the way, that's not a statement of condemnation. That's a statement of heartbreak. That parents have let their kids grow up without knowing what the Bible says. And now we're reaping the results of that, of a future of faithlessness. As His custom was. Dear friend, what are your customs? What are your habits on a daily basis? What are your habits? Is it the habit of reading the Word of God? Is it the habit of having sound speech? Is it the habit of helping our children, or not even our children, but just the people we influence, our co-workers, to know what the truth of God's Word is? And maybe jump into a conversation, not to be obnoxious, but jump into a conversation to be able to give some truth instead of all the air that's going on in the conversation. Our customs reveal the details of our devotion. Reveals who we're devoted to, what we're devoted to, the things, the places. It reveals the identity of our influence, either for the eternal or the ephemeral, either for the worldly or the world. And I'm telling you, we need some people who will influence toward the Word and toward the eternal and toward being Spirit-filled. And then it reveals the future of our faith. Don't you want your kids to grow up and serve God with all their heart, soul, and mind? Absolutely. Don't you want your kids to grow up and know what truth is? And to be able to push back against all the error and have some discernment and some wisdom? By the way, in your bulletins too, Brother Will said this week, a commitment to wisdom is a commitment to courage. Because a commitment to wisdom is a commitment to say so. Now think about that. And a lot of times it takes courage to say so. A commitment to wisdom, to that which is right and to truth, is a commitment to courage. Because if you're going to have a commitment to wisdom, then you ought to be willing to say something about wisdom. And that takes courage. As his custom was. Maybe this morning you say, you know, my habits aren't great. Maybe your habits are toward the world. God has mercy. Just come this morning. Say, Lord, my habits haven't been the best. But I want my habits to influence. I want my habits to be devoted to you. I want my habits to reveal that my family, friends, followers, whoever, they're going to have a future of faith based on the Word of God. As His custom was. God, help us today. Thank you for the time. And Father, I thank you for these being so patient and attentive to your Word today. Father God, help us as your people. Help our customs, help our habits, help our manners, help our routines be that which reveals a devotion to you. That reveals that we're trying to influence toward eternity. And reveals that our faith, that we want our faith, our body of doctrine from your word to continue in the future. God, help us this morning, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you could, if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo is going to begin to play in just a moment, but friend, the invitation's already been given in the message. Friend, if you're here without Christ, you need to come. That's why He came. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the bruised, to heal the blind, to release, to free the bound. That's why He came. And if that's you this morning, you need to come. Say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be saved today. Dear believer, dear church family this morning, how are our customs? How are our habits? What are our habits? Are they devoted to God? Are they influencing toward the eternal? Are they influencing toward the Word or toward the world? Do we give more credence to the things of the world than we do to the things of God? And whatever answer we give right there, in many cases, is going to determine the future of our faith. Our body of doctrine, what we believe and what those behind us believe. As His custom was. We don't make doctrine out of man's customs. But I'll submit this. There are a lot of man's customs that are good for us. Kids, there are a lot of customs that your moms and dads have. You may not say, and you may not say, well, they're not Bible. But listen, they're good for you. And they're based in principles of the Bible. You ought to listen to them. Good habits that they're trying to get you grounded in. As His custom was. That was His habit. That was His manner. Dad, this morning, based on your habits, based on how you lead your family, based on the customs in your family, in your home, what are your grandkids going to look like? What is your great-grandkids, what are their homes going to look like? Are they going to be filled with the Word of God, or are they going to be godless? Are they going to be humanistic? Hey, thank you so much for your attention this morning. I greatly appreciate it. Listen, I pray. If the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart, let's deal with some of these things today. If He's shown you maybe a habit or a custom that you need to get rid of, or a habit or custom you need to grab a hold of, let's do it today. Because I'm telling you, it means everything to our future. As Christians, our families, our nation means everything to us. Hey, I hope you'll be back tonight at 6. Campers and counselors, camp service tonight. You can wear your T-shirts tonight. I hope you do. And we'll have a good time together tonight. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Brother Tim Turner, pray for us, please, sir.